This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time to start hour number three of the radio program. Brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Catch the surf action and the good vibes at the 26th Annual Cape Kiwanda Longboard Classic, proudly presented by Pelican Brewing. It's the largest annual surfing event in the PN-Dub, and it's September 19th through the 21st. You can kick out the weekend Friday night with live music, and all weekend long, enjoy award-winning craft beer from Pelican at their original location in Pacific
City. Try that.
I would love to try that. A lot of fan bases could have used a few IPAs over the weekend, depending on if they're happy IPAs or sad IPAs. Mm. Let's talk some more college football with our good friend Max Chadwick of PFF. He's the co-host of PFF's College Football Show, and you can give him a follow on Twitter at CFB Max Chadwick. Max, good morning to you, man. There's a lot that happened in week one. Week two looks like it's going to be a dud. There's not a lot of great games, but week one delivered from start to finish.
Don't we always warn against saying it's a dud
true.
And then boom, like
who's
going to
get
teams?
Got? Somebody's yes. going to get got yes. this weekend. Max Chadwick, the biggest takeaway from week one for you was?
That we don't know anything going into the year. That was pretty much my biggest takeaway. Three of my top four teams in the country lost in week one, which might say something about me as an analyst, but it's pretty insane how incredibly chaotic week one was. So it's shaping up to be an all-time chaotic year of college football. And really, the thing that makes college football so great is the chaos, and I think we're in store for a lot of it this year.
I'm somebody that's a big believer in the move, and I just sometimes laugh at the whole don't be the guy following the guy, but the evidence right now is not great for Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. It is week one. We're always like, hey, let's not overreact to what happens. I didn't see that quite happening to them. Is this a we need to be patient and let this guy figure this out, or is this set the alarms off, look at the buyout numbers, panic mode for Alabama?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think he should be fired midseason at all, because I just don't think that's really what Alabama's been prone to do in the past, obviously with Nick Saban for all those years too. So he definitely has the entirety of this season, at least in my opinion. But after that, I mean, if he misses the playoff for a second straight year in a 12-team era, I mean, Nick Saban would have never dreamed of missing a 12-team playoff while he was the head coach, right? So the standard is a lot higher than that at Alabama. So I think if he does not make the playoff this year and get the year back on track, yeah, you could start talking about, you know, who is going to be the next head coach at Alabama. Because I don't think, you know, missing a playoff 2 years in a row in the 12-team era is acceptable at Alabama right now.
He had quite the DeBoer face going anytime they just had a mishap or they gave up a big run or a play. Like, oh, I wasn't ready for that one at all. Like, what was the most surprising part of watching that Alabama performance?
just how badly they were getting beat in the trenches. I mean, you know, I hate to keep comparing him to the greatest coach of all time, and Nick Saban, but in the Nick Saban era at Alabama, you know, if you're going to beat Nick Saban, you needed to win with a dude at quarterback and guys on the outside, a receiver. You would never, ever dream of, you know, dominating their offensive line or their defensive line. So I think that was the biggest concern for me with Alabama, is that Kalen DeBoer, you know, in his four games that he's lost his 14 or more point favorites, they've gotten worked in the trenches before. That's a really concerning sign for Alabama right now.
Yeah, we're talking with Max Chadwick, Pro Football Focus, co-host of PFF's College Football Show at CFB Max Chadwick on Twitter. We were just talking about the Ducks, and I know you've been high on them coming into the year. It's Montana State, right? So it's hard to have a big takeaway other than, hey, at least they didn't struggle this year like they did against Idaho. Just curious what you thought, maybe from some of the young guys, in particular a guy like DeCorian Moore making his debut, and how you're viewing the Ducks going forward this season.
Yeah, it was good to see them dominate. Because like you said, last year in their FCS game, they didn't look that great, and they still had a great year, obviously, after that, too. So it was good to see Dante Moore look good. I thought DeCorian Moore looked really good, too. You mentioned him before, the hurdle, and then really the block on the touchdown he had, too, was awesome. And that kind of speaks to the culture that Dan Lanning has in that program, that the receiver, I forgot who scored that touchdown, but the receiver who scored that touchdown, he actually went to celebrate DeCorian Moore's block more so than his touchdown. So that just shows, you know, what they're all about there at Oregon. And yeah, I think right now they should be in the top five of every ranking right now. And I think Oregon could be in store for another really good year, and maybe they can repeat as Big Ten champions this year.
It's one game. It's early. The one thing about Arch Manning I will say about this, with all the hype and the stuff that people kind of put on him before he even had really started a big game like that, I was not under the under the impression that he was a sidearm thrower. What happened there, and what did you make of Arch's first game performance?
Yeah, I think the mechanics in the first three quarters of the game were all out of whack. I agree with you. It didn't look pretty out there in the first three quarters. Now, you know, he was outstanding in the fourth quarter, which is why I would say pump the brakes on, you know, selling all stock on him or Texas just yet. I think, you know, that was a pretty brutal game one for Texas and Ohio State, too, so credit to them for winning the game. But Texas's offense is so young. You know, they have a brand new set of weapons. They lost their top three pass catchers from last year. They have four new starting offensive linemen, too. And you saw the youth on that Texas offense in week one. Now they have San Jose State this week to get right. But I'm not selling stock on him just yet. It wasn't a great performance from him, but the fourth quarter was outstanding, and you saw just what made him so hyped coming into the year. So, yeah, I'm not selling stock on him or Texas just yet, but obviously they got off on the wrong foot this year.
Two coaches who have yet to take their programs to playoffs got pretty big wins this weekend. I'm curious, who was it a bigger deal for you? Brian Kelly and LSU going on the road and bottling up Clemson, who just can't beat an SEC team right now, or Mario, despite the fact that he tried to be too conservative to win the game but ultimately ended up surviving? Mario or Kelly, who was the bigger winner for you?
I think Brian Kelly. Because I had Clemson as my preseason national title pick going into the year and my number one team in the country. And Brian Kelly, and really the most impressive part of LSU's win, in my opinion, was their two biggest question marks were their offensive line and their defense. And both of them were outstanding against matchups that I thought were really bad for them. And Clemson's defensive line, which I think is the best in the country. And then Clemson's offense, which I also had as number one in the country going into the year, too. So, you know, LSU's defense was amazing in that win, and the offensive line was pretty good, too. So if those two are clicking on all cylinders, you have Garrett Nussmeier, the current Heisman Trophy favorite at quarterback, they could win it all this year.
It's not the sexiest conference, but the Big 12 I found interesting going into the year, of how many teams you could point to and say, they could win the conference. It's only 1 week, right? We had a week zero game, I guess, with Kansas State, Iowa State, but Iowa State undefeated. I thought TCU looked really impressive, even though North Carolina might not be very good. Arizona State held serve. Utah absolutely obliterated UCLA. When you look at the Big 12 right now, do you have week one takeaways of how you'd power rank that conference, or is this something you think week to week we're going to have to change an opinion?
Oh, week to week, absolutely. This is the most wide-open conference in college football, and there's a lot of good teams in it right now. And, you know, I just put out my top 25 recently, and I think I had, like, five straight Big 12 teams at the very end of that ranking. So it's just like, this is a conference that is so, so wide open. You mentioned Arizona State, Utah, Texas Tech, I still think is a really good team in that conference, too. You mentioned TCU looking great last night, too, against North Carolina. Yeah, it is just insane. Iowa State's 2-0 to start the year, too. It is insane how wide open that conference is right now. I think anyone telling you there's a clear favorite to win the Big 12 just either is lying to you or doesn't know what they're talking about, I think.
Talking about Max Chadwick, Pro Football Focus, the co-host of PFF's College Football Show, at CFB Max Chadwick on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. Outside of Alabama, Florida State, because that has to be the biggest surprise, I think, for probably everybody out of week one. What was the biggest surprise for you this weekend?
Yeah, I think I would probably say Clemson looking as lethargic in the ways where I thought they would dominate LSU. You know, I thought Clemson's offense had a clear advantage in that game. I will say Antonio Williams, their star receiver, barely playing at all was a big factor too. But Clemson's offense looking lethargic and their defensive line not being able to get pressure on Garrett Nussmeier as much. And also Garrett Nussmeier got rid of that football at a very, very quick rate too. That also contributed to, you know, Clemson's defensive line not dominating. So I would say I'll put that up there too. Miami's trenches dominating was a little not too surprising, but I thought Notre Dame's offensive line was better than that, and Miami's defensive line just absolutely dominated them in that one. So that was surprising in a good way too. But yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, the Alabama, just the way they lost to a team in Florida State that I thought really going into it, I thought Alabama could destroy Florida State, and the way they lost like that, really they got destroyed by the Seminoles. That was by far the most surprising part of week one.
Well, and we all know, Max, like the hardest thing out of week one to do is not have some like grand takeaway, because we're waiting for football for months and months and months. You watch a game and you want to have some like conclusion about how a season's going to go. So obviously nobody has any idea, but is how much of the takeaway from that game is, damn, Florida State might end up being a problem? Do we see them fixing all of the problems that they had last year in one off season? We know how good Gus Malzahn could be as a play caller, especially his history against Alabama. But I'm just curious, the Florida State takeaway of that, are we buying stock in Florida State?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should. I think Florida State, really the two new coordinators they hired in Gus Malzahn and Tony White have looked like they changed the culture of that program, because, you know, really the whole problem with Florida State last year was I thought they were a soft football team last year. And you saw in that game against Alabama, they were about it, right? Alabama was on the look soft in that game. And if you make Alabama look soft, that says a lot about your program right there. So, yeah, I think Florida State, you know, I didn't have them ranked preseason. Now they're in my top 15 because of that win over Alabama. So they have a legit chance to contend the ACC this year and maybe sneak into the playoff this year. And, you know, this is the thing with Mike Norvell's teams in Florida State. Like, they are so reliant on the transfer portal that they have a brand new roster every single season. It's why, you know, they had an incredible 2023 season, and then going into 2024, brand new roster, people thought they'd be really good again, but they went 2-10. Now this year, brand new roster, people thought, okay, they have another bad year. No, they just beat Alabama. So it's kind of a, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword with the transfer portal with Florida State right now, and right now they're living by it in 2025.
I don't know if this is a good take. I just don't. I have no real read if Mike Norvell is a good coach. Like, I think he is, but like, to your point, they were so soft and awful last year, and so he brings two big coordinators in, and suddenly they're really, like, is that Mike Norvell, or is that the coordinators? I don't have a read on Mike Norvell as a coach.
I think he's a good coach. You know, he was great before Florida State, too, and obviously I thought he got robbed of a playoff spot in 2023 when they went 13-0. I thought it was an insult to competition to say, oh, well, now that one player is hurt, that you don't deserve to be in a playoff even though you're undefeated. So it was pretty ironic considering they got revenge on Alabama for taking that playoff spot from them in that year, too. But, yeah, I think Mark Norvell is a good coach. I think last year was just an absolute disaster. And like I said, when you have a brand-new roster pretty much every single year with so many transfers coming in, there's some times where it's just not a good team and they don't have time to gel together and or anything like that. So it is an issue sometimes with the portal with the way you construct that roster. But I think overall he is a good coach, and you're seeing it this year too. He really just had one horrendous year in 2024, but honestly, that could be a blip on his radar the way he's going right now.
Last one for me, Max, because we appreciate having you on a Tuesday following a week one of college football action. Was there a non-ranked team for you? I had a buddy that was like, dude, I'm all in on USC. And I'm like, they played Missouri State, but okay, they scored 73. Is there a non-ranked team that caught your eye, even if they didn't play a great opponent, that you could see shooting up into the rankings and maybe being a bigger problem than we're talking about right now?
First of all, I love that right there. I think that's the best part of college football. Is exactly. You watch one game, you're like, oh, this is the national champion right here. That's the best part of the sport. I love that. I would say right now, obviously, I would think Florida State's the biggest one. And then after that, I would say actually two teams that I had in my top 25 that people are now getting a lot higher on after week one. I loved Utah going into the year. I had them losing my Big 12 title game going into the year, and you said it. I mean, they dominated UCLA within the trenches especially, and I think that could be a theme throughout the entire season. That offensive line at Utah with Devin Dampier, quarterback, could be lethal. And then defense is always really good under Kyle Whittingham. So them, and then also I think Auburn is dangerous this year. I think Auburn, who I had in my top 25 too entering the year. I know they've had four straight losing seasons, but they brought in Jackson Arnold, who looked really good against Baylor as a runner especially. The offensive line is way better than last year. The receiving core is better too. I mean, they have an elite supporting cast around Jackson Arnold. If he could play anything like the five-star recruit that he was coming out of high school, that could be one of the best offenses in the country, in my opinion. And then the defense has some really nice seasons, too, in the secondary. And then Keldrick Faulk, their edge rusher, could be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft, too. So Auburn is a team to watch out for in the SEC this year.
Here comes Auburn. Max Chadwick is his name. Co-host of Pro Football Focus's college football show at CFB. Max Chadwick on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Max, thanks for the time this morning, man. Always appreciate it.
Max, I want to add one quick thing as we let you go. My co-host thinks the beard edition's great, man. He thinks it just
the beard
adds
looks phenomenal
to you.
Yeah. It looks phenomenal, dude. Yeah. Two thumbs up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I tried to grow out the beard a couple of years ago just to see how it works out, and thankfully it's worked out so far. So I think it might be here to stay, but I appreciate the kind words there.
There you go. Great stuff from Max Chadwick. A Pro Football Focus, the Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. There is so much that we haven't even – just tip of the iceberg.
We haven't talked
from
Arch.
One. We have not talked about Arch.
The boar!
Who looked like ass this weekend.
Is Mike Norvell a good coach?
I'm in sports hell. The honeymoon's over. Are you smoking crack?
He's back, baby.
He brought up a point. You're going to view it as defending.
Yeah.
And I will understand why.
Sure.
He brought up something that I absolutely thought about this week. And I'm like, if this happens a different way, what is the takeaway at this point? And I'll tell you what that
you
is.
Don't miss you all, dude.
He's back. He's back.
Well, you knew he was coming back.
Let's set this up as the tease, where Dirt was right, next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Well, it happened again, boys. It happened again.
Boy, good weekend for you.
Good weekend for you.
Where Sprague was wrong.
It's almost like a guy who probably should have gone 7-5 in 2023, but was bailed out by a generational quarterback.
Does Penix get the Heisman? Should we give Penix the Heisman?
I think we should revise that Heisman. Yeah. I mean, this was my point in not ranking Alabama in the top 12. And at the time, it was viewed as sour grapes by me. Like, I never questioned his ability to have his team ready for big games and big moments.
Sure.
He certainly did that when he was at UW. He gave me two of the most heartbreaking losses that I've ever experienced as a fan. Mm. He did it last year against Georgia, despite almost blowing a 30-point lead. Mm-hmm. Like, he has the ability to get his team ready to go and play in big games. But the takeaway from the 2023 season for Kalen DeBoer, outside of the pain he inflicted on me, would have been also, why did they barely beat everybody else? Why did you need a 100-yard pick six against Arizona State and a drop pass against Stanford and a snap out of the end zone on a punt against Oregon State and a fourth down conversion against Washington State?
Deep in your own
and a block
territory.
Field goal against yeah. Utah and yeah. a fumble from Caleb Williams. Well, and like the list goes on and on. Like, that's who they were that year. And look, yeah. They Victor go the spoils, right? They went undefeated, and that's a season that UW fans will never forget.
Absolutely.
That's besides the point now. The point is, how will he do it the biggest, arguably the biggest job in all of college football? And this has kind of been his DNA. Last year, when he didn't have a Michael Penix to bail him out,
yeah.
what happened when his team no-showed against Vandy?
Yeah.
What happened when his team no-showed against Oklahoma?
Yeah.
And they came out flat, lethargic, and got kicked in the teeth for four quarters on Saturday in Tallahassee.
I'm giving you... You lay out, you get your dirty pole, it's correct. You were very close to that Kansas State one being devastating.
Hey.
That
being said, 1-1 football team right there.
Exactly. I disagree with you in this sense. The opening drive was
sure.
8 minutes.
Opening drive was a touchdown.
55
yeah.
rushing yards and dominance. And I'm like,
and they were outscored 31-10 the rest of the game.
And I think they rushed for 30 yards the rest
Could
of the game.
Could not run the football, and they got dominated at the line of scrimmage, which is exactly what happened to him when his team didn't show up in multiple games when he was at UW.
I vividly remember that season. It was magical. It was so fun. I love Penix is one of my favorite quarterbacks to ever watch spin it.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, like, you do add context now that the guy's at a bigger facility. He is at a much bigger program with higher expectations. If people would have really keyed in on the season and not just the Oregon game.
He won big games. He beat Texas and he beat Oregon twice. Yep.
Okay. But let's revisit even those if you want to. Blew the lead in the first Oregon game, blew the lead in the title game, both came back, got fourth down stops at home, and then won outright yep. in the conference title game. The Texas game, guess who came crawling back in that game?
Yeah, they had four shots inside
the
20-yard
line.
So,
even the games he won that were the big games, he had moments where his teams blew leads or allowed opponents very close to come back. And so you can play this what-if game, but we kind of have to now that he's at Alabama. I'm not kidding when I say, in retrospect, Jaden Daniels' stats a little padded against bad teams. Penix, to me, was the Heisman that year. He didn't win it. I would contemplate giving it to him. I mean, my God. Nothing with Milroe and nothing against, what is it, Simpson?
Ty Simpson, yeah.
Samsonite, who cares? Kids running for his life every other play. And even when he's throwing on the run, he's throwing at feet. I just, I'm like watching this. Jaw drop stunned. Not that they lost.
They got,
they got
physically
absolutely dominated by Florida State and Tommy C.
By a team who, by the way, ran their mouths against about Alabama all offseason. They gave bulletin board material
the quarterback
the entire offseason. This is the best defense I've faced. It's my own defense. Saban's not there anymore.
Yeah.
We're not scared. Bulletin board material, which should have woken Alabama up to come out and lay a can of whoop ass, and they still couldn't do it.
Dude, he came out with those quotes. Saban, I don't know if you caught this on game day, was like, or maybe it was McAfee or something, was like, I'll tell you now, you say something like that when I was coaching there, it's over at halftime. Like,
yes.
He was like, I'm dominating you if you say this about me.
Yes.
And this cat is running for a first down in the first quarter and just pointing right in front of Alabama's bench. And what do? They rolled over and died. I don't think they're going to fire him.
Wow.
Little bit of a pussycat. I don't know.
Ooh.
I cannot speak to the actual finances of Alabama.
See what you did there.
But I looked it up,
And I think I read correctly, his buyout, just him, at the end of the season, say they go 8-4, is 68 to 69 million.
Yeah.
The staff would be an additional couple million, plus whatever you have to pay whoever you want to leave wherever they are, because you ain't hiring a nobody, right? If you wanted a Dan Lanning, quote unquote, you're 20 plus million plus whatever you're going to have to pay him to even leave Oregon, which I don't think he is. Like, it just isn't feasible.
Oregon's a better job now anyways.
These programs don't, they don't have the money they've set themselves up to buy out. Norvell is in this with
no,
Florida State.
No, because you have to spend through the university for your roster.
So, $20 million a year now.
I know you want to play the legend audio, and I'll let you do it in a second, but, like, I'm sorry, man.
You're
he
stuck.
Might go 8-4, and that's, I would drop them out of my top 25. They look that pathetic. There is not a lot of optimism I would have. 8-4 is a good year at this point based on what we just watched. I know they'll get another win or two, and we'll probably have to revisit. That was just pathetic. That was
to open your season.
That was as pathetic an effort
you got punked
as any team in college football gave.
Yeah, you got punked. They ran their mouth against you the entire offseason, and you no show. That's a game that you take. That's a game that becomes personal. That should be, if your football team's connected and cares, that's a game that you come out and send a message. There is better talent up and down Alabama's roster, more so than basically everybody on their schedule, particularly Florida State.
He looks confused. And he had just faces of like, what's happening right now?
Yes.
I don't know.
So speaking of which, I got two bits of audio I want to play with for you. This one came, they did their press conference yesterday. So this isn't from the post game. This is their Monday presser. He, like every coach, said going into the game against Florida State, it's been a great week of practice. You know, we're ready to go, ready to kick off the season. We've had a great week of practice. Here is a back and forth between him and a reporter yesterday that is making Alabama fans already out on him. This made it even worse.
You mentioned the great week before the game. Just how much do you self-scout the preparation before games? And are there times as a coach where maybe you notice during the week that things might not be going the way that you want them to?
You said, what do you mean, great week?
A great week. You said a great week of preparation.
For this week, you're saying, or are you referring to last
going
week?
Going up to Florida State before that game.
I said that?
You said that, yeah, before.
Oh, just coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, dude, you said it was a great week of preparation last week.
Also, it's Monday. You haven't had a preparation a week for this week,
no,
so obviously I'm talking about
last week, and that didn't make anybody happy. And then we waited around. When is it going to happen? When will it transpire? And then it happened. He has returned.
This is a football nightmare, brother. I mean, it's clear this guy is just a substitute teacher that's got no control over the class whatsoever, Paul. This guy's got no control of this program. It's all lip service, brother. It's all lip service. It was bad enough that I had to go on Mari Povich last year before the nation and say that Vandy was my daddy. That was bad a friggin' enough. But now there's a part two to Legends Football Nightmare. I just got my ass run over by the Gus Bus. The friggin' Gus Bus just ran my ass over. I guess it's true what they say, Paul. The Gus Bus wheels do go round and round. I've never seen a team more softer, more pathetic in all my life. 12 missed tackles last year in the worst game. 14 missed tackles in this game. They said 20 plays where players didn't even care, didn't even chase after the play. Where's the pride? Where's the passion? Where's the friggin' tradition? The pride of wearing the damn A jersey? Where is it? That was friggin' pathetic, dude.
Can you pull the very beginning of that? Because that was me on Saturday night. Can I add one more thing? So, like, look, I'm wrong on it. It seems like it's a bad fit, and I know people brought that up when he got hired. I just was like, he's a good coach. I don't think fit matters.
I mean, to be fair to you, he had won everywhere he had been. It wasn't just the 1 year at UW, or 2 years, I should say, at UW.
The funny thing is when he's 9-3 and here's my only rebuttal, okay? My only slight defense of him, because
sure,
I'm not going to argue against any of how it looked. Max Chadwick pointed out something that I actually thought about in my kitchen between game snacks of, they shouldn't have been in the playoff Saban's last year. Everybody and their mom, the only ones who argued for it were the ones that didn't want to watch the non
starting quarterback of Florida State playing a playoff game, and then Florida State got rolled because everybody dropped out of the bowl game.
They were on one loss SEC champ, but Florida State was undefeated.
Undefeated. Power 5 team. That had never been left out ever in that existence. But because the quarterback was listed with a broken foot and we knew we wouldn't play, they left him out. All I'm saying as a rebuttal is if Saban's last year isn't a playoff year when it was a four-teamer, he still would have come in with the Saban expectations, but it ain't like he would have been handing the national championship team to him. That's my only little defense of Kalen DeBoer. Other than that, I don't think they have the money to fire this guy, and if they do, my God, you're just going to have to try to push him to figure something out there. Toughness is a big factor here.
Has been for the last 2 years under him, man.
How your defense doesn't look improved at all.
People were doing film breakdowns of it, and there were legitimately moments in the game where guys on defense were just not doing anything. Like, just jog. There was two touchdowns that Florida State scored in which there were guys in the secondary that probably could have caught them and tackled them. Now, maybe Florida State still scores, but it's just a sign of a lack of effort, and that's a culture issue, and that's hard to... That when that stuff gets into the DNA of your program, that's really hard to get out. There was a booster who came out and said that he's been at the team hotel in the Kalen DeBoer era and stayed at the same hotel as the team the night before a game on the road.
Yeah.
And basically at 2 a.m., there's girls coming and going. They're ordering DoorDash deliveries. There's not like a strict standard. It's just little things like that don't seem like they matter.
But
and
they
then you watch
a
team
bit,
not give any effort on a game day and roll over when they start getting punched in the mouth. And that's kind of who your program is right now.
And I'm watching this offense, like Proctor's this big offensive line prospect.
Might be a top five pick in the draft.
Guess who got beat the most on the offensive line?
He got dominated.
Dominated by that Florida State pass rush. How is Simpson the best quarterback you can possibly get?
Yeah, I actually, look, he wasn't great. There's no doubt.
No, I'm giving him credit for fighting.
Like, he at least played hard. Like, he was out there trying to make something happen.
But that defense, after they got run over, they had a moment for a quarter and a half. It felt like they had settled in and they weren't allowing anything. And that offense is a disaster.
Couldn't do anything. Ryan Grubb's back, though. That'll fix everything, right? Seahawks fans about that.
Ryan Williams was dropping a couple passes. He got lit up, but he dropped a couple passes.
He has not had a 100-yard game since the Georgia game last year.
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer is now 5-5 in his last 10 games.
He's 4-4. Is it double-digit favorite? Is that the stat?
He just lost to his fourth unranked opponent.
That's crazy.
It took Nick Saban like 13 years for that to happen. It took Kalen DeBoer 14 games. It's insane.
Yeah.
Wild result from the opening weekend of the season. Let's continue on it in terms of a couple other duds that were laid this weekend. Also, I'm curious what our biggest takeaways were from the opening weekend of college football. We'll dive back into the local schools with some audio coming up later on. Don't forget the mail sack as well. Questions welcome, 503-864-6326. We're back after this. All right, welcome back in. Legend got us going today.
I mean,
God, it's so good.
He summed it up really well. This is me Saturday night.
This is a football nightmare, brother.
You know what I said on New Year's Day 2025?
This is a football nightmare, brother.
34-0? What just happened,
hey,
man?
Hey, Kalen.
You ain't at Washington no more.
So good, dude. A couple of thoughts, by the way, coming in from Husky fans.
Yeah.
And this is like,
I hope that didn't come off as like we're taking away your magical season. We're just pointing out Kalen specifically. Dude, Penix.
This is what I said at the time.
Saved
and it was,
you.
Yes, it was viewed as sour grapes, but it's like every good team's going to have a down week. Every good team is going to have a week where they kind of no-show and you got to survive and it's way more uncomfortable than you thought.
This week might be that week in college football.
You never know. They did it for half of a season. It was week after week after. And every time it happened, we thought, okay, you needed a 100-yard pick six against ASU. You got away with it. You survived.
Didn't they not score an offensive touchdown?
They didn't score an offensive touchdown. They were losing.
And then the Stanford fourth down drop.
Yes, that was the next week. And then it was Oregon State. And then it was Utah. And then it was USC. And then it was like,
right.
That was half of your year. Yeah. And they found a way. It's a magical season. Nobody will ever take that away from you. But this is the argument I made at the time. He also had a recruiting class outside the top 25 at the time, and they were undefeated. So it just, some of this says, somebody said, as a Husky fan, I was not happy that we got screwed, that we screwed around and let Texas back in the game to the game you were mentioning.
Yes.
Which is why Dylan Johnson got hurt. I remember that. Then DeBoer was out getting quartered by Alabama instead of preparing for the national championship.
Not prepping for the natty.
Another one said, not quite, I'm sure, I'm ready to say it, but as a UW fan, it might just be possible that we dodged a bullet with DeBoer leaving. He had a generational talent at quarterback.
Yes, he did.
To prop him up, and Jed Fish is actually providing, already providing to be, or proving, I think, much better.
better recruiter, which he is. The recruiting classes have gotten better under Jed Fish, and the culmination of young talent has gotten better under Jed Fish than it ever was under Kalen DeBoer.
The one thing I always give, and look, I think they've elevated and they have the financial support, but like if you use a Lanning example here, okay, just bear with me, and I know Oregon is a big spender and all that.
Yes.
But when coaches, Kyle Whittingham, well, I'll use him, when they basically say, I'm good, like I'm good, and it's easy to say this now, and in hindsight, Alabama knocks on your door and Greg Byrne's like, here's a fat deal to coach Alabama football. It's easy to say, oh, I don't take it. But you do look at it and you go, man, sometimes the good thing you have is a good thing to hold on to.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always about chasing. It's about building. And, you know, maybe to that point, I don't know if where Husky fan is right now after their game against Colorado State, but the recruiting is upticked and it's gotten better. So in that metric, I'll give you that. And also, you highlighted this during the season, but I can understand people that viewed it as quote-unquote sour grapes. Some of that talent was leftover talent from Jimmy Lake.
Yes.
And Jimmy Lake just sucked.
The vast majority of it was brought in by a previous staff.
Now, he brought in Penix, and I didn't see Michael Penix being that, but what if Michael Penix wins the South this year?
Yes, what if he turns into a top five NFL quarterback?
I'm going to have to look at that and go, yeah.
Oh.
Brady Belichick, Penix DeBoer.
I mean, on that note, we did stay up late and watch the Cougs. They somehow survived against Idaho. I don't know, are we going to have any takeaways after Coug games this year? Or is it just kind of a freebie year of just, you know,
I mean, I'm not going to bash them.
I'm not saying bash them, yeah.
But I don't think they're very good.
No, they're not going to be very good.
I don't know if they're...
I don't think anybody was surprised by
that. I
don't
know if they have a chance to go bowling.
Zero chance to go bowling, I'll say it. They're not going to a bowl
game. That team was as talented as Idaho.
They're really bad. It's going to be a really bad year for them.
Now, my team plays them twice.
You do.
And we got shut out by Air Force last year, so I'm not going to say anything else other than the Washington State team I watched on my quad box... needed a field goal at the horn to win the game, and I still didn't walk away going, I felt like they were better.
Yeah. Let's get to, here's what we're going to do. Top of the hour, we'll check back in with Oregon State. We got some audio that we haven't played yet, Lanning and Trent Bray.
Still haven't talked about Arch, dude.
Let's get to Arch. We got to get to Arch
Clemson,
at some point.
LSU.
We have not talked about Clemson. There's going to be some leftovers.
Sellers?
Look, this is the world we're living in.
Harper? Stewart?
They look pretty good late,
didn't
they?
The dirty ball.
They look pretty good late. Early on, people were tweeting me, are you nervous about your cocks right now? And I said, hey.
I mean, it was 10-8.
It's week one, dude. Let him warm up a little bit, all right? Give him time here. Lenore Sellers is going to get this thing going.
He looked good.
We also haven't talked about the Huskies who played a late game Saturday night, and maybe the dumbest fake field goal I've ever seen.
Jay Norvell, man.
What are you doing?
I don't think he's a bad coach, though.
Are you sure about that? That was pretty bad.
They were tied for a long time.
Let's talk about that game
for a while.
Some of the other big takeaways, including an arch dud in Columbus, and something that we thought going into the year that I feel even stronger about. And we'll get to that next on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Well, it's the first time we're learning a lesson of football season. There's too much and too little time. So do the best we can over the next hour and 10 minutes. The Big Nooner sure was a dud,
was it?
Or did you like a defensive battle?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show.
No, not the TV show, the game. The Big Nooner game, Texas and Ohio State, best number one opening season game we've ever seen. And it was 7-0 going late in the third quarter.
I would add that, like, also, Portnoy trolling Ohio State is not in any way interesting to me as television. It's like, dude, you do that on a stoolie podcast or something.
Yeah, it's fine on your own brand.
But good luck to everybody in that venture.
That'll go well.
You know, I wasn't, like, I think shocked that the game went the way it did. I think week one takeaways are, unless big name talented team playing absolute patsy, you're just going to get offense takes forever. We mentioned jokingly Lenore Sellers in South Carolina. It was 10-8 in the fourth quarter.
Well, especially with new starting quarterbacks. Who Sellers isn't that, but in Texas, Ohio State, you had two basically new starting quarterbacks.
Well, and, you know, like, I'd use Clemson LSU too. Like, two returning quarterbacks with high NFL
struggled
draft
as well.
Interest. Like,
good
those
point.
Offenses struggle. I'm not selling Clemson. I'm not overly going to buy LSU either. I think those are two very good football teams. And LSU came back late, and they dominated late, and they won the game.
I have the same feeling in Texas, Ohio State. Like, Ohio State won.
Same.
But it almost feels like they didn't win. We're anybody else have that takeaway?
Yeah, we're acting like Texas lost 48-7.
Yeah.
Like, here's my criticism. One, the Arch stuff. It's not Arch's fault, no. Per se, but I also want to give Sark some blame. Every possible interview I saw that guy do about Arch, he didn't poo-poo anything. He was asked by Rinaldi, why is he, something to the effect of like, the hype. And he's like, he's ready for it because of his name. And he also had a weird answer of like, who's under more pressure, coach or quarterback? Like, first of all, Arch is 20, you're the coach. And he goes, I think both of us understand there's a lot of pressure on us. And I'm like, you're the coach.
Take
like,
the heat.
Take the blame.
I am under the pressure here to put him in a position. I fall on the sword.
But let's not sugarcoat this, dude. Like, outside of three throws.
Late in the game, he was terrible for
three
quarters.
He was horrendous.
It was horrible.
He wasn't
okay.
Just terrible. He's horrendous. When did he, whenever did you guys think or know he threw like Uncle Rico? He flung steaks at people's faces all day. He wasn't throwing a football. I didn't know he threw the football so sidearm, dude.
Opening pass play of the game, they called a play-action boot out to his throwing side. He threw it sidearm, and it skipped on the ground 5 yards in front of a wide-open wide receiver.
Would have been a nice start if he would have completed that
pass. Got a little bit of nerves there.
I don't know. I'm not stunned offense struggles week one.
Yes.
Jeremiah Smith had more drops in one possession than he did all of last season. He had two on one possession. He had one last year.
Ohio State had 203 total yards of offense. They were 3 of 12 on third down.
I thought Texas ran the ball fine, like good, considering what they were up against, not having
way
a pass
better than
attack.
Ohio State, yeah.
And I thought Sark's goal line calls were horrific. But,
yeah.
Like, Arch was awful.
It was kind of, did we enjoy that? A little bit of the chuckle with the hype? There was
I'm laughing at Feinbaum.
Sure, that's
like
what I'm saying. I'm not
Arch.
Yeah, it's not personal against him.
No.
I don't know the kid. He seems like a good kid.
His glasses commercial was adorable.
It's kind of cute. His dad's in commercials with him. Like, it's not an anti-Arch stance. It's just like an anti, can we just pump the brakes a little bit on the hype machines going into the year?
You know,
like,
who should have got more love? Nussmeier.
Yeah.
That kid was
He's a returning starter.
He threw some nice gems
really
out
good.
There.
JKS should have got more hype for what he did to my Beavers than Arch Manning. Are you kidding me?
That was, yeah, it was funny because the takeaway from that game, I came away with it saying, Texas is probably going to be fine. Arch is probably going to be fine. That
I'm
team's
not
loaded with talent.
Texas stock.
I actually came away not even that impressed. I shouldn't say that because they won the game and it was, you know, winning games like that is impressive. Like, I shouldn't say I didn't come away shaking my boots looking at Ohio State in their offense. Julian Sain looked lost for the majority of that game. He had a horrific decision late to throw a ball away instead of just taking a sack and making Texas use a timeout.
Oh, I
allowed
know.
Allowed them
Killed
to have
clock,
extra time.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's quarterback one-on-one. Just go down. Who cares about the loss of yardage?
Yep.
They couldn't run the football at all. He was, what was his final stat line?
I mean, it wasn't amazing.
13 of 20?
Yeah.
Like, they had 200 yards? 126 yards.
That's
like,
not amazing.
Dude, it was not pretty. But they converted a fourth and goal. Texas handed them the ball a couple times in a short yardage, like, threw a pick. Like, turnovers helped them, and they converted a fourth and goal, and they won. Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country. But I think it connects to a takeaway that I had. And I don't know if you guys agree with this from week one of the thought coming into the year was, man, this could be really fun because there's not one team that we look at and say, uh-oh, who's going to be able to beat them? We did that with Ohio State last year. Now, they didn't play like it until late in the season, and then they reminded us of like, oh, that's right, they're better than everybody. If Texas wins this game 35-17 and Arch rips them apart, I think we're having that takeaway out of this game of like, uh-oh, who the hell is going to compete with that? But I didn't see anything from anybody this weekend that made me go, that's unbeatable.
This is going to sound a little disrespectful, too. Like, Ortner told me this. He's like, I was really impressed with Patricia.
I'm like, the guy's throwing sidearm and
the kid's throwing
skipping
sidearm
in,
like, into the ground. He looks like me trying to skip a rock. Like, what are you talking
he
about?
Looked like the moment was too big for him.
And I just like Ohio State's defense replaced a lot. 8 starters. I totally get it. Like, give them their flowers, but
they got Caleb Downs back, who's the best safety in the country.
Dude, I was a little more impressed with Ryan Day's nipple piercing than I was Matt Patricia. Like, kid's throwing sidearm into the ground. I don't know how much of that is Ohio State's defense.
When you win a title, you can do whatever you want to your nipples.
So that is a nipple piercing? Is that confirmed?
It has to be. He has a nipple piercing.
Okay, so
when you win an Natty, you get to do what you want. To the victor goes the spoils.
So maybe he's dyeing his beard and he's piercing a nipple?
Maybe he's always had a nipple kink. I don't know.
Is the other nipple pierced?
Wants the wife to pull on him. I don't get what he gets, you know, what he's into.
You do pull it, right? Isn't that why you get it?
I would imagine so. I don't have my nipples pierced, so I can't speak to that. And I don't know if it's like
either.
An earring thing. Do you just do the left ear, the left nipple? Because it looked like it was a left nipple based on photos that we saw.
Is there one reputational nipple of, like, are you, you're gay? Like the way that used to be with an ear
the
piercing?
Right earring or the left earring?
Right, that used to
you
be a big deal.
You only do the left earring, but not the right earring.
What kind? Does he got a barb? Is it a barb or is, because it didn't look like a ring.
I wish it was a little dangly thing.
Oh,
you know, a little dangle down there.
That'd be pretty good.
A little dangle right there.
Look, I just, Ohio State to me is going to be damn good. That's not shocking to say. I'm going to give you another takeaway, and it's week one. I know who played who. You know, Penn State's going to be good. Ohio State's going to be good. And Oregon's going to be really good. And if you told me Oregon can win the Big Ten again, I think I'm walking away saying, yeah, I saw some dudes this weekend. And I know it's Montana State.
Sure.
It's not about how they played against Montana State versus Ohio State playing Texas. It's just that I think what your point is accurate.
Like Julian Sayin's, maybe Ohio State wins in their title, but did anybody come away the game saying, oh my God, that guy's going to beat you by himself?
No.
And maybe Ohio State's good enough around him to win again, but there's not that fear in the quarterback.
No, but Arch was so bad that somehow that stat line actually impressed me compared to Arch Manning. Like, that was my other takeaway. Like, I can't believe this kid is not doing anything,
not
and it's
doing
more
him.
Impressive than what Arch is doing.
He won the game.
I don't know who the best team in college football is, and that's actually a fun world to live in.
It's a really good spot.
There's
probably 10 or 12 teams that you're looking at that have a legitimate chance of doing it, depending on who's healthy and who's getting good quarterback play at the end of the year. Look, not all low-scoring games are boring. It wasn't a boring game because of the storylines and the way that Arch was playing, and then they woke up late and damn near had a comeback to tie it. So it ended up being interesting in the end, but 14-7 Ohio State beats Texas. And maybe we can pump the brakes just a little bit on the Arch hype train. He's going to be fine.
So
he's
best since
talented,
Tim Tebow. Was that walked back yesterday by Feinbaum?
I mean, Feinbaum literally in the morning of the game on the SEC Network said they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. Like, he's been predicting a Texas blowout forever, and they damn near got shut out for the first time in a game in like 10 years, dude. Until late, they didn't score. They almost got shut out.
One other theme from the weekend.
Yeah.
Catch, no catch. Like, I don't know
We're
anymore.
We're there again, aren't we?
I don't know anymore, man.
I can't tell you what it is.
Used to be, you know it when you see it.
The South Carolina kid took three steps.
Yeah, there was one in the, was it the LSU-Clemson game? Where they weren't even talking about it being ruled an incompletion, and then they ruled it an incompletion.
Well, I saw the ball loose, and I go, they might overturn it, and they didn't talk about it.
What are we doing here? Lots of college football still to get to in the final hour of the show. We will get to the mail and sack coming up at 9:15, 503-864-6326. Haven't talked about the Huskies yet. We'll dive back into the Ducks, into the Beavs. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker. Presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.